situation to exist or fester for a moment more than is necessary. Again, get them on the phone or write them and say the following. You're not dealing with us now. That tells me one of three things. Either you had an interruption in your life, or you had a bad experience with us, or you no longer need our product or service. If you had an interruption in your life, we want you back and we'll do pretzels to do it. If you had a bad experience, know from the heart it wasn't intentional. I'm not even aware of it, or we're not even aware of it, but we want to make it right. So the first thing is I need to know what it is so that we can correct it. It is tremendously important that we win your loyalty back, or at very least, we assure ourselves that the last transaction you do with our company, or you did with our company, is a satisfying and fulfilling and rewarding one. So if the last one wasn't, I got to make it right. And then you do whatever makes it right. If that means doing it again, if that means giving them a credit, if that means giving them free goods, if that means coming out and redoing the job, you do whatever it takes. And doing that will, again, in 50% of those situations, revitalize and refortify the relationship, and they'll come back loyally and impressively, and they'll tell other people. The third and the final reason, and this occurs about 25% of the time, is that literally the client stopped having a use for your product or service. They outgrew it. Their circumstances changed. It no longer was viable in their life. That is not a reason to abandon them. That is an incredible, a screaming opportunity for you to get an enormous flow of quality referrals from the client. If first you contact them and you ascertain that, in fact, they no longer have a viable use for your product or service, you don't say, okay, thank you, bye. You say, well, obviously when you did, you were satisfied. We extended ourselves. Hopefully you got the feeling and you sensed that we cared more and we tried to do more than anybody else comparable. If you do agree with that, can we ask you to refer us to other quality people like you were when you had a need, who we know probably can use our services and will benefit greater from us caring about them, worrying about them, serving them at a higher level, and call and introduce us to them? We would appreciate it, and we can promise you they will be benefited greater than you can imagine by having us look after their well-being. So we have three scenarios. All three are great opportunities to regrow your business. But you can't do that if you don't know, first of all, who they are, if you don't develop a systematic, continuous process to monitor, to recognize, to contact, to convey, to regenerate. That's it in a nutshell. Very simple. But that one combined three-pronged strategy alone could literally double your business every 18 months, particularly if you have a high level of current attrition that you're not aware of, and that you're not really systematically trying to reduce, eliminate, abate, and control.
I was in Australia many years ago. I used to go all the time. And a profound event, I've been very lucky. I've been impacted by so many profound events. I don't remember most of them. But they've indelibly embedded themselves and integrated themselves in my being. So I'm in Australia. Flown 17, 18 hours, had my family. It was a really rugged flight. I don't know if you've ever gone to Australia, but you go through every kind of weather pattern. You go through typhoons. You go through all kinds of weather. I had a bunch of young kids who were going there for the first time. I was fatigued, but I couldn't sleep because the time difference was screwy. My host put me up in a very, very commanding suite on top of the Sydney Hilton. It had a majestic, majestic window on the world concierge suite. Those of you who don't know what that is, it's usually on the top floor. It's a majestic place where you get drinks and you hang out and you can have meetings. My family was exhausted. They went to bed. I couldn't, so I went there to drink. I walked in the room and huge, I mean, glass. I'll look at it, Sydney Harbor, just majestic. I can't even describe it. One person in the room, like about where that guy in the corner standing with the pencil and papers in his hand. I just love humanity. So I walked up, sat down, and told the man two pieces of innocuous information about myself. My name, and that I was from the United States here on business. I didn't tell him that I was going to address 500 people who were paying me $5,000 a piece the next day, that I was recognized in my distinction. I told him nothing else. It's those two things. what ensued after that were 90 minutes worth of some of the most probing Socratic interview I've ever done. I met the guy. It was very, very intriguing to me. I found out he was from Germany. He was here in a high-level, high-security participation in a worldwide conference of third-world health ministers and health officials. He represented a shearing company out of Germany. He traveled the world calling on third-world health ministers selling population control programs. That fascinated me. I said, what in the hell is a population control program? And I found out there were so many of them, it was wild. I want to know, how in the world do you sell them? How do you call a third-world health minister and get an appointment? I wanted to know what he said on the phone. I want to know what he did, what he followed through with. I want to know what they charge for these population control programs. I want to know what the selling cycle was. I want to know what the resistance levels were, first of all, in the government. I want to know what the motivation levels were. I want to know what the population thought about being controlled. I want to know how they got paid in what installments. I want to know what happened once they sold it, who disseminated it. I want to know what happened when a government changed hands and they had a contract pending. I want to know how they got paid, in what form, and how it was transferred. I wanted to know what he planned on doing with his Rolodex. I wanted to know what he was going to do when he grew up. Then I switched. I wanted to know a lot about life in Germany. What's it like? What's the lifestyle? What's the cost of living? What's the political climate? What do you do for fun? What's your house look like? What's it cost? You know, what's your school like? You know, where would you live if you lived there? I asked him to miracle. I'm drinking cognac. I'm drinking Courvoisier. Well, after about seven of them, I started feeling exceedingly, not tired, but giddy and disoriented. And I thought, I didn't want to fall on the guy's lap, so I better leave. So I stood up, I thanked him, and I started to walk away. This man stopped me, and I swear to God this happened, and I swear to you it was the most indelible impact. I was about halfway between here and that door, and he started, said, stop. I've got to tell you this. You are absolutely the most interesting man I've met in the last 5 years. Now, here's a man who traveled the world, called on some very interesting, very, very, let's say, unusual people in all kinds of unusual third world governments. I told him two things about myself, my name and that I was there on business from the United States. That was it. I ask myself always, and you should do this too, what's the process? What's the principle at work here? So I'm more than semi, I'm overly inebriated, staggering to the door, leaning on the elevator side, making sure the door doesn't open, I don't fall inside, thinking, what in the world just transacted here that I got to really focus on? And I realized this, if you want to be interesting, all you have to be is interested. If you want to be respected, all you have to do is respect. If you want to be loved, all you have to do is love. If you want to be desired, all you have to do is desire. It's like really interesting. It's so mere image obvious, but nobody realizes that. I hope genuinely that I blew your mind a little bit. I stretched your paradigm. I challenged you to forever be haunted by a question of how much higher is high, how much wider is wide, how much more is possible from the opportunity, the activity, the capital, the human capital, the people. Anyhow, it's been my pleasure, and I hope that this has gone a little way to make your venture or your business or your potential idea far more of a viable, a profitable, and a wealth-enhancing concept for you. And I hope you can contribute massively to society and the world. Now I'd like to talk to you about my very distinctive and unique philosophies about the internet, the e-economy, the quote, new economy, etc. Particularly given the fact that a lot of the theories have been debunked, the myths have been shattered, the hopes and dreams of a lot of deluded optimists and theoretical people have been crushed. First and foremost, the internet and e-commerce isn't going to go away, but it's different than most of the first wave of optimistic and, let's say it, opportunistic thinkers believed. I think the optimal purpose of the internet or e-commerce is combined with
a brick-and-mortar business. It is the most extraordinary extension of your connection and communication to your existing clientele. If you look at the companies that are doing fabulous, they're not the pure virtual companies. They're the existing companies that made e-commerce an extension, that used the internet and a web presence and email to extend their communication, their connection, their level of service, education, and information generating capabilities to their client. That's first and foremost where I think you should focus, making it an extension, a dimension, an embellishment of what you're doing. Second, the sleeper in all this, in my humble opinion, is email. Email is a very powerful communicative mechanism if you use it astutely, strategically, and wisely, and don't abuse it. First thing you have to do is get email. Email is very powerful if you first capture it and realize probably today 60 to 80% of your clients and your prospects do in fact have email. Your first goal is to garner it because of two things. Number one, it's a very intimate and a very powerful communication. Number two, it's a very inexpensive communication. Sending direct mail takes a long time and costs you upwards to a dollar or two a piece. Sending an email is instantaneous and costs you very little, but it's got to be personalized, it's got to be humanized, it's got to be externally focused on what's in the best interest of your client, of your recipient. So first thing you do is build an email list. The website is very valuable, but only if it gets updated. People get tired very quickly of a static website. Websites can be very, very, very expensive. I think you've got to be able to justify your existence or you shouldn't do it. So many people, and a lot of people that I know, have lost tens of millions of dollars trying to basically disseminate so much valuable information without correspondingly being compensated. If you can't make compensation, if you can't generate value for yourself by generating values for others, you can't justify continuing to do it. So it's got to be in balance. That's why I think you've got to look at the internet, look at e-commerce, look at the new economy, not with rose-colored glasses, but as a realist. It makes great sense as long as it justifies its existence. And if people are coming to you for free information, but you can't figure out how to, quote, monetize it, and you're spending tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars a month or a quarter on staff, on technology to do it, and you can't figure out where the beef is or where the money is, I suggest and I urge you to stop. It's got to justify its existence. It's got to either save you time or money communicating, disseminating, transacting business. It's got to be something that makes a profit up front, or genuinely and strategically lends itself to a profit that you can justify and you can quantify, or don't do it. There are some wonderful online businesses. I have a client that generates almost $10 million a year and makes a very handsome profit selling information online. Selling information or providing niche products or services, how to use the internet by itself as a niche enterprise. But niche is the answer. Trying to be all things to all people is too hard. There's too many generic competitors out there who, even though they haven't figured it out, are willing to be like drunken sailors and dissipate and spend millions of dollars. Why compete against them? Find a niche. Grow rich in your niche. Find a niche that attracts a segment of the market that so values and desires that information or those products that you can easily charge a premium. I think the fallacy of the internet is it should never have charged less than cost. It should charge a premium for providing an incredible niche service to a market. So again, I think it is an incredible communication vehicle to keep in touch and educate and inform and allow your client to get continual 24-hour access or update. And for that, it's perfect. I think it's an incredible vehicle, particularly for using email as a selling medium and a communication medium to constantly keep in contact and bond your relationship to an existing client. I think it has purpose on its own volition if you're selling niche information or niche products. Perfect for something like Amazon.com, where people know what they want, they can go to it, they can organize it, they can order it, they can select it. But in most cases, I think the real value of the internet is not replacing your existing business, but enhancing, advancing, expanding, dramatically increasing the dimension of what you can do.
I got intimidated in the beginning when the internet came and I was technophobic. Still not as great at the technology as I am understanding what it's supposed to do. But I started looking at it thinking, well, if I come to your website, unless you denominate right at the first what's in it for me, the visitor, what the payoff is, and make it easy for me not to just navigate but learn where I'm going to get payoff and why I should go deeper, I'm not going to stay. Does that make sense? If you're going to use it as a brochure, you got to start by making right from the get-go it clear to me, the visitor, what in the heck, I got 3 seconds and I'm out of here. Why should I stay? What's my payoff? Why should I go deep? What is it going to give me in terms of knowledge-based application, benefit? Again, study this concept, benefit. Most people in life get all juxtaposition. They get fixated on selling or advocating features. People don't buy features, they buy benefits. The story I tell is, people go to a hardware store to buy a drill. They don't want a drill, they want a hole. They want a hole. They want a hole. They don't care what makes it, but a drill's the logical device they think of.
Those are my best beliefs, and I think the internet is also a great vehicle for research. That stated, it's also a great way, this is funny, it's a great way to learn all about what your competitors are doing and emulate it. One of the keys to geometric thinking is to leverage ethically off the efforts, the investment, the time, and money that other people in the same field have already made but don't really take to the nth degree, to the fullest capacity. You can do that on the internet by systematically monitoring, studying, and really evaluating what all your generic competitors are doing. And by say generic competitors, they aren't necessarily people you're directly competing against. By going on the internet and by studying all the different people in the same field of endeavor who have a website all around the world, you can get brilliant ideas. You can get great copy that you can borrow. You can actually find people that aren't directly competitors that you can actually borrow or license or trade websites or techniques or concepts or strategies. You can see so many good ideas that'll stimulate you. What I would do if I were in your business is first and foremost, I would every week go online and study and print out all the generic websites out there, and I'd get on them. I'd get on them to see what they send me. I'd give them an email, see what they communicate with me. I would then go and I would borrow headlines. I would borrow phrases. I would borrow and emulate really innovative ideas that they have come up with for how to communicate or how to sort or how to present or how to list or how to aggregate communities of thinkers. I would really want to know what other people who've looked at it with a different mindset have come up with. And again, keep in mind, if there are 10,000 websites out there, maybe 3 or 20 or 100 are competitive, 99% aren't. So you can borrow, you can share, you can collaborate with them, and you're not taking a dime away from one another because most of you are selling in different realms, number one. Number two, I would go to Amazon.com and look up the category that you are in, because if you look at the books that are out on the subject, you'll get great copywriting ideas. The headlines of those books, the titles of those books, the descriptions of what those books do will give you great concepts and great ideas and great phraseology that you can use in your own copywriting, in your own selling, in your own promotions. Next, by studying them, you'll be at the cutting edge of breakthroughs. What I do next is go to other kinds of related businesses like yours. Let's say you are a retailer of women's clothes. Well, first thing I'd do is look at all the women's clothing retailing websites out there. Then I'd look at all the women's retailing books on Amazon.com. Then what I do is look at other categories of retailers, because remember, you can borrow, you can funnel, you can adapt, you can adopt, you can modify, you can import what other people in related but not competitive industries come up with. So then I'd look at what other retailers, menswear retailers, shoe retailers, sporting goods retailers have done, because the way they promote, the way they market, the way they've constructed their website, the way they've written their advertising copy online, the way they have different promotions, different offers. All those are brilliant ideas that took people hundreds or thousands of hours and thousands or tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars to figure out by just observing, by printing out, by studying, by dissecting, by reconstructing. You can take advantage of hundreds or hundreds of millions of dollars of money and intellectual capital that's been deployed, and you can modify it, emulate it, adapt it, adopt it, use it verbatim, license it, do anything you want, but you can't do any of that if you don't systematically start monitoring, studying, and making your prisoner forever what other people have spent enormous amounts of time, frustration, effort, and expense trying to figure out, and then borrowing it. Does that make sense? It should. It's a great opportunity to give you a breakthrough on top of a breakthrough now and forevermore. And you got to not just do it one time and be static, because in a competitive world where people are always trying to one-up each other, guess what? Things change. People come up with breakthroughs. They innovate. They evolve. They revolve. They come up with different takes. They constantly are trying things. You want to keep a pulse of all that in your direct industry and every other one you can learn from. That idea alone is going to give you a breakthrough of the magnitude you can't even comprehend until you start doing it. Most people don't study all their competitors. I would want to do that if I were in your business. I want to say, okay, let's look at the category. Let's look at everybody out there. Let's print it out. Let's look at the phrases they're using. Let's look at the thinking they're using. Let's look at the strategies they're using so I can either borrow the good ones or fill the voids of what's missing. But you can't do that if you're not systematic. You can't do that if you don't monitor. You can't do that if you don't really keep track of what's going on. You can't do that if you don't study and try to emulate and then innovate the best thinkers. Normally, if you study 100 or 1,000 generic competitors of yours all over the world, you'll get great ideas. You'll get incredible concepts you can emulate, you can innovate, you can borrow, but change. Don't plagiarize. Plagiarism is disgusting. Emulation is admirable. Innovation is the goal you should strive to achieve. Those are my thoughts and comments on the internet. From time to time, I'll have new ones, and you're welcome to call me or write me or email me at abraham.com, and I'll try to give you my updated thinking, because, in fact, no one has exactingly figured out the dynamic and the opportunities that best present themselves on the internet and using websites and using email, because it's a dynamic, it's a very rapidly evolving animal. I'm trying to give you my best reasoned assessment today. Those beliefs will probably change, evolve, and revolve around dynamics that come to bear, discoveries that are made, and improvements that I make in my own strategic thinking. But at this snapshot point in time, that's the best reason, the best experienced recommendation I can make to you about how to take fullest advantage of the internet, of e-commerce, and of the opportunities it presents. Now I'd like to talk about goal setting, but from a vantage point that's very different than I think most people who deal in the area would really talk about. I want it to be very, very straightforward. I have a very simple belief. You can't accomplish your goal if you don't first know what it is. And it's like you got to set the stage. Where are you now and where are you trying to get to? And you can't do it in abstraction. You got to do it with very specific and very defined clarity. I look at goal setting the way a sophisticated programmer or software developer looks at software. You can't really create anything until you first know what it's supposed to do at the end when it's created and performing. You got to know what your goal is at the end, not when you die or retire, but when you get to where you're trying to get. If you say, I want to be more successful, that doesn't work for me. How much more successful? Let's say you want to be 10 times more successful. Let's say right now you're making $100,000 a year and you want to make $1 million. Well, the first thing we got to do is figure out what's the goal you're after and why are you after that goal? Is that goal because you want a higher lifestyle? You want to have more things? You want more freedom? You got to figure out what your goal is and why you've got it so that I can reverse engineer it for you. Let's say, for example, your goal is this $1 million. Well, first I got to look at for you, and you've got to look for yourself, at where you are and what you're doing right now. Because if you're selling, for example, or if you're in a job, or you've got a business that's doing certain things a certain way and you want it to be 10 times larger, based on the current strategy you're following, the odds are very low that you're going to get there. Because let's say you've got a small business. Let's say that business has got 10 employees. Let's say that business is spending $5,000 a month on advertising and $8,000 a month on two salespeople out in the field. Let's say you've got 1,000 active clients and you're making you $100,000, but you want to make $1,000,000. Well, for you to make 10 times that with the current strategy and system you're following, it's going to be a nightmare. You're going to have 10 times more clients. You're going to have 10 times more salespeople. You're going to have 10 times more staff. That's not necessarily the highest and best way to get to your goal. Now that you've learned the options and the levers and the power of geometry, you can shorten and simplify the timeline. You can reduce the need for more people and the capital and the facilities by coming up with better ways to geometrically grow your situation. For example, if you get the same clients to buy four times more often, you get the power of geometry working for you without having to grow your organization or your sales force. If you get the same clients to generate for you three or four or five new referrals a year, you're getting incredible growth without sales force. You got to figure out what you're trying to do, and you got to reverse engineer it, because you have a lot more options and a lot more opportunities and a lot more strategic choices than you currently may be aware of. And until you recognize, again, what all your options and opportunities are, and higher and faster and easier and more cost-effective ways to get at it, you can't really engineer the growth you're after. Also, you got to realize why you want to grow. Some people want to grow because they want to be the biggest, fastest-growing business. But when they get there, they all of a sudden have 400 employees to try to manage. They got an overhead that would choke a dog. If they stop and want to get off of the merry-go-round for a week or a month, the whole thing collapses, and they create a nightmare that will just devastate them. I think you got to first figure out what you're trying to get and why you want to get there. And then again, with this concept of alternative options and opportunities, by studying other people out there doing it better, doing it different, doing it more effective, you can engineer for yourself the exact strategy, the exact formula, the exact approach, the exact systematic process that will give you what you want in the way you really want it. And the key here is the way you really want it, because just making a lot of money through arduous, laborious, high-pressure, demanding activities isn't what I think you really want. I think you want a business that will constantly and continuously work harder and harder for you. I think you want a business that has so many high-performing, high-leverage, high-repeat systems in place that when you're tired of it, when you're done wanting to work, the business is worth many times more for you than it was while you were working for it. You don't want to just make $1,000,000. You want a business that's making you $1,000,000 so that when you're tired of it, someone will pay you $10 million for it when you stop. Well, relative to your circumstance, it may not be $1,000,000. It may be $300,000 and somebody paying you $3 million for it, but that should be your goal. Why create an income when for the same effort or less, using the power of the same strategic optimal thinking we're talking about, you can create an asset that people will stand in line for the privilege of buying from you when you're done, when you're tired, when you want to pursue other fields, or at very least, you can walk away from it and it'll manage itself. So my recommendation about goal setting is very different than most people's. I think in your business, you want the business to work for you. You want the business to be worth the most with the least amount of effort, the least amount of investment, the least amount of management. That requires the most strategic amount of geometric performance possible from the same effort, the same investment, the same people, the same commitment of time, effort, and capital. That requires you to study continuously how other people in other businesses do it better, get more yield, get more repeat, get more sustaining value, because that's what's going to give you the payoffs you want. Then you got to know what you really want your business to give you and why. And you got to reconcile yourself with if the reason why is really what you want. A lot of people think they want to make $1 million because they think that's going to really make them happy. What you really might want is a way to get a house paid for and have a $300,000 a year income for life without ever having to go to the office. Anything you want is easily, maybe not instantly, but rapidly achievable today, particularly with the system and the mechanisms and the methods that I've just shared with you. But you got to firstly know what you're trying to get at the end, and you got to engineer the fastest, easiest, safest, most enjoyable. And the key here is enjoyment, because if you're not liberating your spirit, if you're not passionate, if you're not really animated and really in love with who you're doing it for first and then what you're doing for them second, the money won't come, the goals won't be achieved, whatever you accomplish will be anticlimactic and unfulfilling. When your purpose, your possibility, and your passion are in alignment and your goals are very specific and reverse engineered, everything will happen the way you want, when you want it, or faster, and you'll constantly be ratcheting it up because you'll see how easy it is to accomplish what you thought was impossible. Anyhow, goal setting is a piece of cake, but I look at it differently. I hope you will too. And now that you're armed with the methods, the mindset, the examples, the understanding, and the engine that can drive all this, all you got to do is decide what kind of vehicle you want to attach it to. You want it to be a hot rod? You want it to be a luxury sedan? Really, your future, your business, your financial outcome is totally in your hands. You've got the ability now to remold it any way you want, change it at will, and have such a great time serving others and making an impact of the highest magnitude on life. I envy you. I wish I could be a fly on the wall and watch your business explode upwardly with successes and profits and quality growth that's enjoyable with people that you really enjoy dealing with day in and day out. Well, you got the means now. What you do with it is up to you, but hopefully I have charmingly but ruthlessly compelled and benevolently harassed you to never, ever, ever again accept less than the maximum result an effort, an opportunity, or an investment can produce for you. Never limit or restrict the amount of people you can help, the amount of transactions they can do with you, the frequency, and the many, many myriad of ways you can continually serve them. And when you do, the reward you'll get for the effort will be enormous enrichment and unbelievable gratification and satisfaction and fulfillment. I have nothing else to say now except good luck, great successes, and realize it's all about them. And the most selfish thing you can do is to be selfless. I have a couple of very important concluding analogies I'd like to make right now that are critically important to your grasping the full magnitude, the import, the impact, and the disarming simplicity of what I've just shared in this wonderful little compact but ever so valuable program. There are two powerful quotes from two separate people that I think are infinitely appropriate here. One is from a very well-known performance coach named Bob Proctor, who studied the whole element of people gaining wealth and riches. He says something I think is very profound. Most people struggle silently with the absolute wrong question. Remember earlier I said the questions that you ask are wrong? You fall in love with the wrong focus. You fall in love with your business or your product instead of your clients, and you ask what I have to do or say manipulatively instead of how much value or education or benefit do I have to render? Well, Bob says there's another question that's haunting you unknowingly, and it's holding you down so terribly. And the question is, am I worthy of this goal? You're thinking, gosh, do I really have the capability of being a millionaire? Do I really have the capability of doubling or tripling my performance? Do I really have the ability of embracing Jay's mechanism? Can I really be a strategic marketer? Can I really practice the science of geometric business growth? Can I really work on all three ways to grow my business? Can I really employ and imply and apply and deploy a geometric power Parthenon? Well, the wrong question is, am I worthy of this goal? Let me tell you what the right question is. Is this goal worthy of me? Because as I have just demonstrated to you in this program, that you deserve and you must get so much more productivity, so much more performance, so much more profitability, so much more preemptibility, so much more connectability from every effort you make, from every activity you engage in, from every opportunity you are afforded, from every asset, tangibly and intangibly, you have. And when you realize that the activity is capable of doing so very much more for you, and very probably you unknowingly accepted a fraction of the payoff, of the profit, of the impact and success it's capable of doing, you've got to start slashing away at low expectations and low acceptance and start demanding that the goals are worthy of you and all you can do. The next and the final quote is a very simple one from Leo Burnett, the renowned now deceased advertising great who single-handedly probably created as many, if not more, leading and predominant businesses in the world that still exist today than anybody ever before him. He said something very simple. If you set your sights for the moon and the stars, one thing's for certain. You'll never end up with a handful of mud. In conclusion, my wish for you is that you will never again allow any asset, activity, or opportunity to go under-optimized. You will always, not sometime, not occasionally, not just in a few of your activities, but always demand the highest and best use of everything you do. Remember, optimization is getting the maximum result from the minimum effort, the minimum expense, the minimum risk. Maximize, optimize. Geometric business growth, very frankly, my friend, is easier, is faster, is far more doable than the slow, laborious, dangerous, and costly incremental growth that most people, and perhaps you included, have accepted up until now. You can grow through lateral thinking. You can stagnate through linear thinking. You can accept modest incremental gains. You can demand unlimited compound exponential and geometric gains. Choice is yours. The system and the process and the strategy and the concepts and the mechanism to do it with have just been delivered to you on a golden platter. Now what you do with it is up to you. I hope this will be the beginning of your career as a geometric, strategic, and preeminent thinker. And more importantly, I hope you won't just think about it. Start doing, acting, implementing, integrating, systematizing, and enjoying all the riches, all the fulfillment, all the successes, and all the gratification that comes from really being connected to the whole process. That's my hope for you. I hope you share it. Good luck, and have a great future in your business. Hi, this is Jay Abraham one final time. I promised I would share with you how you could learn 93 extraordinary referral systems very, very quickly, easily, and inexpensively. I spent 20 years studying how 10,000 companies built their business. Of those 10,000 companies, I found 93 unduplicated referral-generating systems that were quite honestly profound. Profound in their simplicity, profound in their impact, profound in the financial implications they made to those businesses. All told, 93 referral systems were generating over $150 million a year, year in and year out, for the companies that used them. I was able, because I worked with these companies, to draw out of each of the owners of the companies a very short 2 to 5 minute overview primer on what exactly the referral system they used was, what the key components were, the mindset you had to adopt, the key lessons you had to know if you were going to try to apply it yourself and adapt it to your business. And I've put it together in a set called 93 Extraordinary Referrals. It's not theoretical. It's not abstract. It's literally 93 unduplicated extraordinary referral systems taught and shared to you in 3 to 5 minute nuggets by the actual business owners who developed it, refined it, perfected it, telling you not only what they do, how they do it, why it works, and sharing with you the immensely powerful financial implications it has meant to their business. And it comes with a very, very useful summarized written workbook that also depicts the referrals and explains to you in a different written sense how to use it so you can get your whole company installed in it. Literally, there's $150 million worth of breakthroughs there. Everybody who's ever listened to it has found at least one and frequently 5 or 10 or 20 different systems they could add to their Power Parthenon. You can call Nightingale Conant at 1-800-525-9000 and preview the program risk-free. I spent over $10 million researching the companies. I spent over $2 million recording and interviewing the people to find the 93 highest performing, most universal and powerful systems so I could edit them all down into one powerful program for you. With that stated, call Nightingale at 1-800-525-9000. There's a wonderful philosophical positioning that everyone in your company should listen to. It's about 5 minutes. It's an interview that I did with somebody who's the most profound thinker in the country, well, actually in the world, on the concept of referral generation. He used the mindset that I share to transform his company tenfold, literally, in about 9 months. And you can use the same philosophy. And it's right at the beginning of the program. And as I say, it's risk-free. So good luck. 1-800-525-9000. Thank you.
Hi, this is Dan Strutzel. At this moment, you're probably feeling excited, inspired, motivated, empowered, and most importantly, ready to apply the information you've just heard. We at Nightingale Conant want you to keep that feeling going today, tomorrow, and for the rest of your life, and use it to create the life of your dreams. But we know that's not always easy to do. I'm going to share with you a simple yet extremely effective secret that will help you to maintain the motivation you're feeling right now and really achieve the goals that first inspired you to listen to this program. It's called the Online Mission Statement Builder. In just 5 short minutes, this free, easy-to-use online service will give you a detailed, clearly defined, printed statement of your life's mission that will give you the power to truly accomplish any goal, spiritual, personal, or financial. Your mission statement will be like a guiding light, keeping you focused on what's important, the person you're becoming, the life you dream of, and the goals you plan on achieving, so your life unfolds exactly the way you want it to. Use this free service now, and you'll immediately propel yourself toward the achievement of your goals and dreams. I know, because thousands of people have already taken this opportunity and experienced rapid and dramatic life transformations as a result. This is your invitation to be next. If you're committed to having more, doing better, and living life to the absolute fullest, and you'd like to achieve those goals in record time, simply visit our website at www.nightingale.com/mission-statement to begin the process. That's www.nightingale.com/mission-statement. Remember, there is no cost for this powerful service and no obligation, but I do urge you to visit www.nightingale.com/mission-statement now. If you hesitate, the momentum you feel now may fade away over the days and weeks to come. That's what happens to most people. They let their hopes and dreams pass them by. Please don't let that be you. Take action now, and you'll change your personal, professional, and financial future immediately and forever. Go to www.nightingale.com/mission-statement today.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.